this ain't living, this ain't living. No, no, baby, this ain't living. No, 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 no.
A little Marvin Gaye. Get us in the mood. You're listening to Gregory Neesmith, who is the host of The Gregory Neesmith Show, a special delivery of underdog stuff. Tonight's a test run, but I wouldn't want to do a test run on a talk show and not do any talking. That wouldn't be a test. However, I will play some music tonight. I will also play some clips from things going on in the news. And of course, I'm going to do a little bit of talking too. All right. Election night happened. Leading up to this, I was told by Donald Trump that I have nothing to lose. I am an African-American male. Now, while I don't live in a war zone or in poverty, as I think he said almost all African-Americans do here in the United States, I do happen to live in a city, though. He got that part right. But he said I had nothing to lose. And if you are unfamiliar with that phrase that Donald Trump in the latter stages of his campaign started to say as he reached out to the African-American vote, he kept saying over and over again, the Democratic Party has let you down. You have nothing to lose. I felt like I had something to lose because he wasn't my candidate. But let me remind you, this was the appeal he made to the, as he affectionately liked to call us, and I say that with sarcasm, the blacks. Here's Donald Trump appealing to me, wanting me to vote for him while he was campaigning.
No group in America has been more harmed by Hillary Clinton's policies than African Americans. No group. No group. If Hillary Clinton's goal was to inflict pain on the African American community, she could not have done a better job. It's a disgrace. Tonight, I'm asking for the vote of every single African American citizen in this country who wants to see a better future. Look how much African American communities have suffered under Democratic control. To those I say the following: what do you have to lose by trying something new like Trump? What do you have to lose? I say it again, what do you have to lose? Look, what do you have to lose? You're living in poverty, your schools are no good, you have no jobs, 58% of your youth is unemployed. What the hell do you have to lose? America must reject the bigotry of Hillary Clinton, who sees communities of color only as votes, not as human beings worthy of a better future.
Well, now, that was Donald Trump telling me I have nothing to lose. While several of the statements in that speech that he made are false, or at least for sure exaggerations, he was attempting to appeal to me. I'm still not sold. You know, they say that campaigning is different than governing. I sure didn't like the way he campaigned. I'm going to remain hopeful that he'll be better as he governs. Take a trip down memory lane and go from campaign to election night. We'll get up until now. And then I'll give you some of my thoughts and reflections about the blame game for the Hillary Clinton campaign. Also talk about why I actually think both major parties lost last week. And we'll take your phone calls, too, at area code 215-650-6903. That's area code 212-650-6903. Queens, Harlem, Manhattan, the Boogie Down, Bronx, North Jersey. Holla at her, brother. It's the Gregory Neesmith Show. Special delivery of underdog stuff, covering, commentating, and coaching the Uns. Welcome back to the Gregory Neesmith Show, a special delivery of underdog stuff, a new show here on WHCR 90.3 FM, the Voice of Harlem, hosted by me, Gregory Neesmith, an entrepreneur, a leadership and life coach, and on-air personality who used to host a show called The Dudes of Disruption here on WHCR 90.3 FM. It's still going on Sundays, 2 to 3 p.m. Check out The Dudes. That show's hosted now by Nick Papadopoulos. Also, you can hear me from time to time on The Word Up Show in Philadelphia on WRD 900 AM, Saturdays, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. But the place to be, the place to find me every week, you know, they say only bad things happen after midnight. I say up until now, because I will cover, commentate, and coach the Uns, the unsaid, the unjust, the underreported, the unbelievable, the unavoidable, the unpopular, the unusual, the unconventional, the Uns. I think you get it by now. Underdog stuff. And we will take into account current events in politics, pop culture, black culture, sports, and in our personal lives as inspiration for things to cover, commentate, and coach about. There will be segments called The Unavoidable, where we kick off every show with the unavoidable news stories that have been happening the past few days leading up to Tuesday night at midnight to 2 a.m. here on WHCR. We will also have a segment called Why Are You Still Up? It's after midnight. And right now it's after 1 a.m. You should be asleep. But we got a segment called Why Are You Still Up? Because it's been my experience that oftentimes people should be asleep, but they're up at this hour because they're stressed or something has them disengaged. I am a professional leadership and life coach. We can talk it out right here on the air. Why are you still up? Or this is a show for underdogs. So sometimes underdogs are up at this hour because they're hustling. They're on the grind. They're trying to make something happen. We can talk about that, too, how to get even more momentum going in your life, in your ventures, in your relationships, so that we can go from underdog to contender, contender to champion. And hey, how about champion to legends and leaving a legacy? It's all possible. We'll also have a segment called The List every week, because everybody's got a list. A top 10 this, a top 5 that, a top 3 this, favorite sitcoms of all time, top 3 presidents of all time, 3 most underrated rappers of all time, your favorite fruits. The segment will be called The List, and we'll look to get a diverse group of you to call in, to write in, to join in studio and talk about your list, because they vary sometimes based on cultural background, race, gender, age. So we'll have The List. We also have a segment called Understanding, because underdogs don't get to be ignorant about what's going on in the world. Underdogs have to, not have to, but get to leverage knowledge as power to outwork, to outstudy, so they can make stuff happen. So web segment's called Understanding. Actually, and in the spirit of something like that, today or yesterday, I watched a TED Talk on intersectionality. In the future, I'd bring on a guest to talk about how just looking at race or just looking at gender isn't enough. What happens when they overlap? Talking about gender and sexuality, what happens when they overlap? That would be an example of a topic for the segment Understanding. And of course, we'll continue to evolve over time. I'm always open to suggestions for how to continue to evolve this show, the Gregory Neesmith Show, a special delivery of Underdog Stuff that will premiere next Tuesday night, midnight to 2 a.m. and be here from then on. Every Tuesday, we'll be together. We played Trump's acceptance speech. I mean, he did sound a little better to me during that than he sounded the entire campaign. And now I want to play for you how he sounded on Thursday of last week when he was with President Barack Obama.
As I said last night, my number one priority in the coming 2 months is to try to facilitate a transition that ensures our president-elect is successful. I have been very encouraged by the, I think, interest in President-elect Trump's wanting to work with my team around many of the issues that this great country faces. And I believe that it is important for all of us, regardless of party and regardless of political preferences, to now come together, work together, to deal with the many challenges that we face. And in the meantime, Michelle has had a chance to greet the incoming First Lady. And we had an excellent conversation with her as well. And we want to make sure that they feel welcome as they prepare to make this transition. And most of all, I want to emphasize to you, Ms. President-elect, that, that we now are going to want to do everything we can to help you succeed, because if you succeed, then the country succeeds. Please.
Well, thank you very much, President Obama. This was a meeting that was going to last for maybe 10 or 15 minutes, and we were just going to get to know each other. We had never met each other. I have great respect. The meeting lasted for almost an hour and a half, and it could have, as far as I'm concerned, it could have gone on for a lot longer. We really, we discussed a lot of different situations, some wonderful and some difficulties. I very much look forward to dealing with the president in the future, including counsel. He explained some of the difficulties, some of the high-flying assets, and some of the really great things that have been achieved. So, Mr. President, it was a great honor being with you, and I look forward to being with you many, many more times in the future. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, everybody. We are not going to be.
You were just listening to Donald Trump and President Barack Obama after they came out of their meeting together to kick off the transition of power from Obama to Trump. A couple things that caught my attention. What are high flying assets? I mean, did he meet or find out that there's actual aliens or something like that? And they, you know, now he knows some inside information. What are high flying assets? I'm curious. And they were only going to meet for 10 to 15 minutes. Come on, man. You mean Donald Trump have never held elected office. You have never been in the military, which makes you the first. Donald Trump, the first ever president-elect who's never been in the military or had an elected office. And you mean to tell me you were just going to swing by and holler at a brother for 10 to 15 minutes? I mean, I'm speechless about that. So I'm glad that the conversation lasted for more than 10 to 15 minutes. I do want the transition to go as well as possible to set this man up for success, because his success actually impacts all of our success, and the way the United States wheels and deals, it can impact the success of a lot of places around the world. Glad that they met for more than just 10 to 15 minutes. Now, I will say, this whole thing gave me some hope. Because I don't know if you watched that clip. I watched it along with listening to it before the show. And just looking at Trump's body language and tone in his voice, it was a mix between, at least to me, of Donald Trump being humbled and also just a little bit shook. And I don't mean shook like in a bad way, just almost like, oh man, what have I just gotten myself into? I've often heard presidents say that becoming president changes you. And while I'm not sure if Donald Trump can change, I do think it's possible that this job can change him, or at least shift him. And maybe I'm just grasping for straws, reaching. Maybe it's the optimistic side of me. But in that moment, I started to feel like maybe this job can shift him, and he will be someone who governs much, much different than he campaigned. Because to me, the way he campaigned was unacceptable to me. But I'm hopeful that he can be acceptable when he governs. You know, they say, especially, or at least it's my belief, and I'm talking now from the coaching side of my life, leadership and life coaching, that oftentimes myself, you, others, shift, make a change for one of three reasons. One, you get in touch with your calling, your higher purpose, the difference you want to make in the world. And there's something that there's a trigger in you that once you really get connected to that, that it drives the choices, decisions you make. It's almost like the past is irrelevant. You are pulled forward because you truly have that moment where you know what you are here to do. And there's a saying that the two most important days in our lives are the day we're born and the day we forgot our purpose. So that's one way something can shift. I don't think that's the specific thing that happened on Thursday with Donald Trump, but that's one way. The other way is you get very in touch with the impact, the cost of the way you've been operating. It doesn't serve you. And you start to realize it zaps your vitality. Whatever it is you've been doing, zaps your vitality, creates distance between you and other people. You're just unhappy. That's the second way I've seen myself and other people shift from a leadership and life coaching perspective. So first, you get really connected to what your calling is. I know one of the things that's moved me forward is my calling of fighting for the underdog to rediscover how special they are in the world. It's one of the reasons why I've now started this show, starting a coaching practice. And there's a few activism related things I want to do with kids and adults too. Excuse me. There's also getting in touch with the cost. I've had times in my life where something is not serving me, and getting in touch with how much it was costing me had me shift. But I think the third way that I've seen myself and other people shift is when something dramatic or tragic happened. And not that this was on the traumatic side, but I think dramatic side, I think those 90 minutes with President Barack Obama, someone who he had never met before, I think those 90 minutes being in the White House, I think those 90 minutes, some high flying assets, who knows, maybe he found out or got to meet aliens or something like that. But whatever high flying assets, all those things to me are dramatic occasion situation that happened in his life on Thursday. And maybe, just maybe, we'll see a new Donald Trump, because something dramatic did happen on Thursday. It got a little bit more real. Now, that's the Donald Trump piece. The other person you just heard on that clip was that of Barack Obama. And the next song that I play as we take a short break is dedicated to Barack Obama. And more of the Gregory Neesmith Show, a special delivery of underdog stuff. The test run tonight. More after this music break. We also will take your phone calls tonight. Area code 215-215. That's Philadelphia. We're in New York City. 212-650-6903. That's 212-650-6903. We're doing a test run tonight. The actual premiere of this show will be next Tuesday, November 22nd, midnight to 2 a.m. And midnight to 2 a.m. every Tuesday going forward here on WATR 90.3 FM, the voice of Harlem, with your host, Gregory Neesmith, entrepreneur, leadership and life coach, and on-air personality. We've been going through the ebb and flow of the presidential election, the week that was still to come. I'll share with you my thoughts on the blame game of the Hillary Clinton campaign. And I'll also share where I think there might be some common ground. More after this break.
Mic check. Keep it locked on WHCR 90.3 FM.
Okay.
New York.
I know there's some Republicans out there going, "I told you so." Let's talk about the blame game. I know there's some Republicans out there saying, "I told you so." That we were going to win this thing. Speaking of why did the Democrats lose, I've heard people throw out reasons being black men. There was a word, the exit poll said 13% of black men voted for Donald Trump. Blame the black men. I've heard people say it's white women. Not enough white women supported Hillary Clinton. They want to blame the white woman for turning on the white woman. I've heard blame is suburban moms in these cities like Philly, outside of Detroit. They're saying it's the suburban mom's fault. There's even been word coming out of the Hillary Clinton camp that the blame should go to Jim Comey. FBI director who is known to pop off some announcements and letters related to the investigation of Hillary Clinton for allegedly violating the Espionage Act, and for some allegedly believing that maybe she was obstructing justice related to the investigation of her and the use of a private server and multiple devices and email scandal. That's what I've been hearing. Blame the black man, blame the white woman, blame suburban moms, blame Jim Comey. Well, there's a few people I know we can't blame for Hillary Clinton losing last week. Can't blame Donna Brazile and Debbie Wasserman Schultz in the DNC. Right? Can't blame them. They tried. Now, I don't know if they tried fairly or not, but they tried. Can't blame them. Can't blame millennials. Millennials often described as those currently 18 to about 34, 35 years old, and specifically millennials who are between 18 and 24, 25 years old, according to exit polls. If they were the only people that voted last week, Hillary Clinton would have won in a landslide. Can't blame those millennials. You know who else we can't blame? Black women. I think in 2012, as a percent of the population, I think they were the voting bloc that turned out the most as a percent of, you know, possible voters and then actual voters showing up at the polls. And then last week, I believe Donald Trump only got 4% of the African-American woman vote. Can't blame them. So based on exit polls and some leaked emails, you can't blame millennials or black women, according to exit polls. And according to WikiLeaks leaked emails, you can't blame Donna Brazile, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, and the DNC. All did their best to have Hillary Rodham Clinton, who was the favorite, turn out to be the president of the United States. It didn't work out. So who to blame? My take is, I'm not blaming any of the folks I talked about earlier. Black men, white women, suburban moms, Jim Comey. I'm not blaming them. And also, I want to shift or change one of the words to blame game. I'm not going to blame anybody. We're going to turn the word blame into responsible. And when it comes to who's responsible, I've learned oftentimes, especially in my 16-year career in corporate America, working for a Fortune 100 company, leading teams both domestically and globally, leaders get to take responsibility when things don't go well and get to give credit when things work out. Things didn't work out for Hillary Rodham Clinton. So who's to blame? It's not even about blame. Who's responsible? Hillary's responsible. She had 66 million votes to play with. That's how many votes the current sitting president, Barack Obama, got as a Democrat running for re-election in 2012. 66 million votes to play with. Hillary Clinton also had a sitting president who had an approval rating above 50%. She had surrogates out there like Michelle Obama, Joe Biden, all popular people in the Democratic Party, all out there saying they're with her. And she still didn't pull it off. She's responsible. In my opinion. And I don't want to keep hearing about all the blame goes to this group and that part of the country. Leaders take responsibility. Underdogs. Start practicing it now. If something doesn't go well, take responsibility. Figure out what worked, what didn't. And when things go well, make sure you give credit to the team that you were a part of. In my opinion, what didn't work for Clinton, if she's going to take responsibility for the narrow loss that she took, it was narrow, it was close. I think she talked too much about why not Donald Trump. If I'm McDonald's and I keep telling you, don't go to Wendy's. At some point, you might actually listen to me and not go to Wendy's. But I got to give you a reason to come to McDonald's, though. Clinton has 66 million votes to play with from 2012. She only got about 62 million. She's responsible for leaving those votes off the table for herself. Donald Trump, for the most part, got the same amount of votes as Mitt Romney, slightly higher. Mitt Romney, Donald Trump got around 60, 61 million votes, I believe. 62 at the most. So for all this talk about Trump, bring him out. He basically got what Mitt Romney got. Clinton underperformed 4 million total votes, less than Obama got in 2012. Who's responsible? The leader's responsible. She was the leader. Also, I believe what didn't work, not enough vision from Clinton. Early on, Donald Trump was Make America Great Again. Whether you believe in the slogan or not, I used to do marketing. At least you knew what his vision was. Basically, he was saying, stuff's not working. Let's be great again. I didn't agree with that. But I got his message, and so did a lot of other people. For most of her campaign, you didn't know what her message was. I just saw an H with an arrow. Stronger together, better together. I don't think that came until late in the campaign. And most of her big ideas, they all felt like they belonged to Bernie. Because last time I checked, she was for a lot of things before she was against them, like trade, global trade, minimum wage. I don't believe she ever got to $15, but she talked about it, and I think she said, let's start with 12, and then we'll move it up to 15. But it didn't even feel authentic, because as the emails from WikiLeaks would point out, she's someone who believes in open trade and open borders, or at least that's her private opinion, and she said she has a public opinion. So what didn't work? I think spending too much time on why not Donald, also not giving Americans a vision, a hopefulness to latch on to that felt like it was authentically hers, and doing it for a long period of time. Also, down the stretch, I know all that email stuff was going on, and I felt like I didn't really see Hillary a lot. I saw everybody else. I saw Jay-Z. I saw Beyonce. I saw Michelle. I saw Biden. I saw Kane. I saw all these people. Guess what? We don't vote for them. We vote for the person at the top of the ticket. We vote for Clinton. And last but not least, I think there was a bit of a opportunity that whenever she gave her speeches, I think she could have been more inclusive of the minority voters that are heavily part of the Democratic base. You know, there were things like she says she keeps hot sauce in her pocket when she's doing interviews with radio stations that cater more to African Americans, but she would never say anything about hot sauce in her pocket when giving a more general stump speech. And not that I want her to talk about hot sauce in her pocket anyway, but it's just an example of a message that might be for the base of her party, which is a very diverse base compared to the Republican base, that at times I felt like she left those voter blocks out of her broader stump speeches, almost making folks maybe feel like they are taken for granted. So we can't blame the voters for all those things. She's the leader. Leaders get to take responsibility when things don't work out. It's not black men's fault. It's not white women's fault. It's not suburban mom's fault. It's not Jim Comey's fault. By the way, Jim Comey didn't make her put a private server in a basement of her house in upstate New York. It's none of those folks' fault. And blame is the wrong word anyway. Who's responsible? The leader's responsible. Underdogs, the leader gets to be responsible. So Hillary Clinton is responsible for her loss. Not anybody else you may hear the media start to scapegoat or blame. We'll take one quick music break before we get ready to wrap up. You know, this song is in the spirit of looking forward, you know, going from underdog to contender to champion. Did you realize that you were a champion? Welcome back to the Gregory Neesmith Show, a special delivery of Underdog Stuff with your host, me, Gregory Neesmith, an entrepreneur, leadership and life coach, and on-air personality, and excited to have this test run of the show almost complete and the premiere, the official premiere of the show. The Gregory Neesmith Show will be next Tuesday, November 22nd, midnight to 2 a.m. And that will be the slot ongoing, covering, commentating, and coaching the uns, the unsaid, the underrated, the underreported, the unbelievable, the unavoidable, the you get it by now, underdog stuff. Every week, the show will be inspired by current events, current news in politics, pop culture, black culture, sports, and our personal lives too. I'm a leadership and life coach. I like to get personal also, which will include me sharing about stuff that has happened or happening or will happen in my life too. I want to thank everybody who listened into tonight's test run of the Gregory Neesmith Show, a special delivery of Underdog Stuff, covering, commentating, and coaching the uns with your host, Gregory Neesmith, entrepreneur, leadership and life coach, and on-air personality. I'm going to end every show going forward with a quote and with one of my favorite songs. And that quote is, underdogs, can't nobody do it. Underdogs, can't nobody do it. Underdogs, can't nobody do it like you do it. Nobody. And until next week, keep doing it, keep doing it, and keep doing it to death.
How you feel, brother?
Feeling good.
You feel good?